Testing. That's working. Good. Good morning. Can you do better than that?
Morning.
How are you guys going? Good. Have you guessed where I'm from yet?
Not here.
Yeah, you're right. So, good morning. My name's Jeff Alexander. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft in Australia.
Boo.
Originally from the US, so I have one of those weird accents. So I've been at Microsoft for 26 years, and I'm pretty much a server hugger, a networking client, all kinds of stuff that focus on Windows Server 2012. My details are there, about.me, Jeff36, if you want to connect up with me. I spent a lot of time in Microsoft's internal IT department, so I've done a lot of the work that you guys do, and so I spent a lot of time doing that kind of stuff. And I got some prizes. I got a prize to give away today. Has anybody been to a session where you get a prize? Anybody want a phone yet? No? Oh, that's good. I'm giving away a Nokia Lumia 520. Now, that means you're going to have to pay attention throughout the session today. All right, so I'm going to ask some questions, and we'll do it pretty easily. I'm going to do it in the sense that I'm just going to ask you some true-false questions based on the content that I'm going to show you today. So you're going to have to pay attention. All right? Try to whittle that down to a few people, and then we'll come up at the end and we'll figure out something at the end to do this. So how many of you have got Windows Server 2012 in your environments today? Has anybody played around with any of the networking capabilities in Windows Server 2012 yet at this point in time? Okay, a few people. Now, today I'm going to be talking to you about what's new with Windows Server 2012 R2 networking. Now, when was Windows Server 2012 released? About 10 months ago? We're already at another release of Windows Server 2012 R2. So I'm going to talk to you about a little bit about what that means, why that's actually important to you. But the thing is we're already at another release of the product. But what we did in Windows Server 2012 really is setting the foundation for what we're actually delivering in Windows Server 2012 R2. These are incremental changes that are going to do some improvements really around private cloud, public clouds, and a lot of stuff in here for hosters. So I'm going to hopefully show you a few demos that we can see, but really talk about where we've been so far, really where we've been with Windows Server 2012 the changes that we made in Windows Server 2012 itself. There's probably a lot of stuff that you're not using in Server 2012 at this point in time. That you haven't even had a chance to get to yet, and we're already at the R2 wave. And I'll talk about where we're going with Server 2012 R2, and particularly talking about those three areas. Cloud scale, performance and diagnosability. Also talking about the comprehensive software-defined networking that we have built into the platform and some of the core infrastructure enhancements that we've made to this. Now, it's always good to have a little bit of a picture in your deck, because that keeps people awake. Because what is the average adult's attention span? Anybody know? About 12 minutes, or thereabouts, before. And you guys are all sitting down. At least you haven't had lunch yet, right? So once lunch hits, you have this thing called stagnant hypoxia. Basically, all the blood gets cut off from above the neck, and you tend to fall asleep. So don't worry about it. It's all good. So I want to talk a little bit about where we've been. We've made a lot of strides in Windows Server 2012. A lot of changes in Server 2012 on the platform itself from a networking point of view as well. Later today, I'm going to be talking about storage. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a little bit about what we've done with storage. And a lot of what we've done in networking and storage tie together. Okay, so there's a lot of changes there that we've done in the operating system. So is networking important? Does anybody think networking is important? No, most of you didn't raise your hand. All right, we can all go have a beer. No, it's all good. Networking is really the bedrock for the Cloud OS. It's one of the key pillars when we talk about Cloud OS or cloud computing. It's network, storage, and compute. Today I'm going to be talking about networking. Later today I'll be talking about the networking piece. And the compute side is obviously the virtualization piece. Now, when we talk about networking, it really is lighting up a lot of the stuff, whether it's in Windows Azure, whether it's on a customer premises, or whether it's in the service provider. Being able to light those two things up with networking is the core part of this. So it's really the bedrock for what we're talking about in the Cloud OS and what we're delivering there, and there's a lot of changes in that. But when you look at the 2012 wave, This is what we delivered in Server 2012. Now, a lot of customers that I talked to back in Australia through various mechanisms, be it TechEd, be it IT camps that we run, haven't even got to a lot of this technology. You know, if you call a few of these out, how many of you have a third-party NIC teaming solution that you're using in your environments? How many of you have used NIC teaming in Windows Server 2012? Okay, that's a welcome advance, right? So you don't have to worry about third-party drivers or any of that kind of stuff. We had a DHCP failover, which is allowing you to basically create a failover partnership between two DHCP servers to further enhance the availability of your DHCP infrastructure. SMB is really something that lights up not only storage, but also networking. So through SMB multi-channel, being able to aggregate the bandwidth on a line to be able to increase the bandwidth that you're getting on those, right, is a huge thing. These are continuous application availability. We worked, we did some initial work around the ecosystem, around the Hyper-V extensible switch. We did a fair bit of work around quality of service and with our hardware partners. When you think about high performance networks, anybody here using RDMA network adapters? Now, a few people, those are your 56 gig line rate. Anybody using 10 gig E in their environments at this point in time? Okay, so quite a lot of you are using 10 gig E, so that's great. So single root RIO virtualization, receive side scaling, dynamic virtual machine queue. A lot of these technologies were in the operating system. I'm going to talk about what we've changed, what we've added, what we've enabled through that with Windows Server 2012 R2. Now, how many of you manage DHCP or IP addresses in your environment? Anybody using IPAM? Few people. How many be using still managing your IP addresses with a spreadsheet? Yes, that's a lot of fun, isn't it? So IPAM really takes that whole notion away, where you don't have to worry. You can manage this all through that, and I'll talk about some of the changes we've made with IPAM. And so there's a whole bunch of this. And of course, all of this is scriptable through Windows PowerShell. I am going to show you some PowerShell. If you're ever presenting a session and you want to take it from 300 level to 400 level, just throw some PowerShell script at a bunch of IT pros, because they all freak out going, oh my God, scripting, oh, it's all crazy. Anyway, we're going to show you some of that so you can see some of the things we have. Now, Microsoft has a lot of data centers around the world. I used to work in Microsoft IT. I managed the data centers in Australia and in New Zealand. So I looked after those data centers. And we have, this is a picture of one of our data centers in North America. I can't tell you whereabouts it is. But our data centers are fairly big. We've got a lot of data centers that are around the world that are delivering services such as Bing and Azure and all this kind of stuff. But that team wanted to look at ways to cut costs. Okay, so they looked at a whole bunch of things around maximizing the utilization of their existing resources. What I'm going to be showing you today and talking about in the networking side doesn't require you to change anything on your existing equipment. How many of you think that's a good thing? You don't have to change your existing equipment. This is the same thing that we actually saw within our cloud data centers as well, is that we didn't want to have to change existing, have to buy specialized equipment. We wanted to have, in these data centers, automation is a super important thing that we actually have. So automation is a key thing in our data centers to make sure that we're being able to automate this stuff. Because I think Scott talked about in the keynote earlier this week, is that we don't have a lot of humans in our data centers. So automation is a very, very, very key thing for us to be able to spin up workloads and do all that stuff that we need. We've taken a lot of the learnings from what we've done in our data centers and brought that back into the core operating system. We run Windows Server 2012 in our core data centers. So we've taken a lot of the learnings from running big data centers to allow you to implement a lot of this stuff on-premise or with a service provider. Okay, so we've learned a lot from what we've done with these data centers. Anybody have any ideas how long Microsoft has been in cloud computing? Anybody have an idea? No idea? 1994. Remember MSN? When MSN first came out? That was our first data centers. First venture into cloud computing. Okay, so we've been doing this for a long time. We've learned a lot from building these big data centers and what it takes to build them, and networking is a key area for that. Now, of course, the road ahead, where we're actually going with Server 2012 R2, is that we've taken some of those initial learnings that we had with Server 2012 and adding some incremental areas, and I'm going to talk about each one of these, a few of these. So, of course, around when we talk about a cloud OS needs to scale, right? It needs to be able to scale up. So we In this bucket, we're talking about improvements to virtual machine queue, VMQ protocol, to enable VRSS inside virtual machines. Improvements to NIC teaming, and we'll talk a little bit about what we've done in regards to NIC teaming. We did make some changes to NIC teaming that are going to be beneficial to you, all right? Remote live monitoring through the new network monitoring tool that we have. There's a new version of NetMon that that allows you to do remote near real-time monitoring of events that are going on your network. We've extended the ACLs in this as well, being able to do that. And we have a new PowerShell commandlet called test.net connection. How many of you use ping? The good old ping. How long has ping been around for? A long time. Well, when you upgrade all your machines, when you go back to the office, and if you're an MSDN subscription, upgrade your laptop to Windows 8.1, you can use the new PowerShell commandlet called test.net connection. Okay, so that's a new commandlet that allows you to not only to do what ping does, but it also allows you to script a lot of this as well. Okay, so it makes it a little bit more powerful than what ping can actually do. Network virtualization, some changes there. We have an inbox site-to-site cloud gateway. Okay, so that's an inbox capability that we have in the operating system now that's been added. And some of the enhancements that we've made some minor enhancements to IPAM for virtualized data centers. And I'll talk about those things as well as we get further along. So first off, the first bucket is cloud scale and performance diagnosability. So VRSS. So those of you that are actually using Windows Server 2012, you might have noticed the thing about VMs right now in Server 2012 are restricted in the way that they process network traffic to using only one processor. How many processors do you generally have in your servers today? At least four, right? Most of the time, right? So what's happening is that we're not utilizing the processors on that, so we're not getting the best performance that we can actually do. So what VRSS actually does is it allows us to maximize the utilization by spreading network traffic across the CPU cores, not only in the virtual machine itself, but also within the host. Okay, so if the host CPU 0 starts to get really pegged, we'll start to spread that across the additional processors on the host itself and within the VM. The other thing is also what you'll see is that those of you that raised your hands, and the reason I asked this around 10 gig network cards, is that if you're running 10 gig network cards, you're only going to probably get upwards of maybe 5 gigabytes or 3.6 gigabytes of throughput on that network card. You paid a lot of money for that 10 gig e-card. You want to actually get the most benefit out of that, right? So we want to. What we can do is we can also move that up to what we call a near line rate for that particular VM on that 10 gig e network card. Okay, so the other thing is that it's now possible to virtualize your traditional network-intensive workloads because of this increase in throughput, all right? So now the key thing you want to remember here is that there's no hardware upgrades. It works with your network card, or if you have a network card that is compatible with virtual machine queue. So this is some changes into the virtual machine queue, which lights up virtual RSS. And it's a simple case of just enabling this through PowerShell. Okay, so through PowerShell, you just go and enable NetAdapter RSS and pipe that into the true parameter, and you'll be able to see the benefits of that. And I'm going to show you that in a second so you can see what it looks like. All right? So virtual RSS, big area around diagnostics, being able to virtualize those workloads, typically file servers, maybe gateways that are very intensive on the networking side of things that allow you to virtualize those workloads. Okay. Next area is around NIC teaming. So you guys that are using NIC teaming, you loving using that right now? Yeah? It gets a lot better. All right, so we have this is essentially, if you haven't used Server 2012, it's about network fault tolerance. It's often called LBFO, load balancing and failover. So it's about taking two network cards, creating them into a team. In Server 2012, we were able to create up to a team with up to 32 network cards. Okay, I highly recommend that you use the same network card. I don't in my laptop back in Sydney. I have two USB to Ethernet network adapters to be able to get a team. And what this does is it aggregates that bandwidth like you're actually seeing here. Okay, so if you have 8 1 gig network cards, you're going to get 8 gigs worth of throughput. Okay, so what we've and I'll talk about what the problem with that, though, is that traffic only on Windows Server 2012 gets pinned to one network adapter. Okay, so when traffic comes through, it gets pinned through that one network adapter. The default mode for Windows Server 2012 is address hash. Okay, we create a hash of the packets, and we balance it out that way. What we've done in Windows Server 2012 R2 is a new mode called dynamic mode. Dynamic mode is now the default mode. This basically takes the TCP packets, breaks them up into flowlets, and balances this across all the network adapters. Okay, so this is more efficient for the team, and I'll show you how that actually looks in a second. I've got a diagram of that well. It'll optimize the utilization of your team on existing hardware. Okay, so if you upgrade a server to Windows Server 2012 R2, and you have a team in that, you can basically just change that mode from address hash or Hyper-V port, which is the other mode, and then turn that into dynamic, and away you go. You should get better performance out of that as well. So this is kind of what it looks like. Okay, so on the TCP stack, you see that flows are actually coming in, okay, and they kind of go through one NIC card, and they get pinned to that particular NIC card, which if you have a NIC card or a workload that tends to have a lot of traffic coming on it, you could run into a bottleneck on the NIC card itself if it's only going to one NIC card. All right, so we can change that so that it actually goes to another one. With Windows Server 2012, we balance this across the team, and we balance them. We're breaking those packets up, those TCP packets, into what we call flowlets, and we balance that traffic across those so that we don't get one NIC card being the bottleneck within that network team. All right, and I'm going to show you the result of that, because typically what happens is traffic only comes in through that. When you're talking about received traffic only comes in on one NIC, okay? Whereas the send traffic can be balanced across. This allows us to balance that out a little bit, and I'll show you that in a second. The next thing is around extended ACLs. We allowed us, in Windows Server 2012, we have the ability to, through extensions on the Hyper-V switch, is through partners to be able to have an extension protocol. This includes capture extensions, forwarding extensions, filter extensions. What we could do in Windows Server 2012 is we could only enable traffic or blocked based on source and destination VM. This was at the VM level that you had to do this. With Windows Server 2012 R2, we can filter, allow, or block traffic for specific types of workloads. Okay, so if you've got a particular workload where you want to filter traffic, you can do that based on network address, application port, protocol type, and we do stateful packet inspection for that. So this is just really telling you how that's coming through, how it's flowing into the virtual NIC itself. All right. Remote live monitoring. So right now the message analyzer tool, which is the new version of Netmon, is in beta 3. Okay, so this is essentially about allowing you redirect and track ETW events on your network. So the message analyzer tool is there. Remote monitoring of network traffic is really not that simple. Would you guys agree with that? Is it easy to monitor network traffic? When I was in MSIT, we had a specific networking team, and they had customized tools to monitor network traffic. And it wasn't an easy thing to be able to do. I used to love going up to people when I was in IT and tap them on the shoulder going, "You're downloading a lot of data on your machine. We need to have a chat." Right? You've downloaded 5 gig of data. What are you doing? And they're kind of looking around going, "Oh my God, what's going on?" So we had that ability to do that. So what this tool allows us to do is mirror and capture network traffic for remote and local viewing. It's a GUI experience through the Message Analyzer tool, and you can download the Message Analyzer tool now for free. It's up on MSDN and also, I think, on CodePlex. And essentially what this does, we use WMI to configure filters and truncation to start and stop a session to capture that traffic. And it's almost in near time to capture the remote packets. And filter based on IP address, VMs, and all that kind of stuff. Now, how long did we say the average adult's attention span is? What was that, about 7 to 12 minutes? Okay, so I'm about that time, and I'm going to take you through and show you, because you got a switch. And I'm pretty sure that I am on, I'm going to go B, and cut. There. Does everybody like my New Zealand landscape background? Has anybody else done that in a presentation you've been? There's three themes related to New Zealand. This is Queenstown, So these are some backgrounds on Queenstown. So I thought I'd do that while I was here, just to get into the spirit of being here. So I'm going to remote into one of my servers, which is back in Sydney. And I'm going to connect to that and show you some of the new PowerShell commandlets that we have for monitoring our VMs and also monitoring our host as well. So let's just clear that screen because we were doing some stuff before. All right. So the first one that you may have used or you may not have actually used before is get-netadapter. And a get-netadapter essentially just allows you to get some basic net adapter information for all the NICs that are currently up on your system. So essentially what this is showing you is it's showing me the details of all the NICs that are currently on my machine. All right, so this is showing me all the details, whether they're up, what type of network adapter they actually are, what the speed is, what the index is on that particular NIC. So it's a very easy tool to be able to find out what's going on that particular net adapters on that machine. The other thing you might want to actually do is also look at the VM network adapters. I'm on a host that has a number of VMs that are currently running on that host, and I want to be able to see the details of a particular VM. And it's very easy for me to just do a get-VM adapter, -VM name, and the name of the virtual machine that I want to look at. So I'm going to pipe that into that, and you can see that it's got two network adapters. One of them is disconnected. One of the tips, if you're ever demoing on your corporate network, do not put a DHCP server on your network. It makes you very unpopular with the IT department. So you can see that my CorpNet connection is disabled at this point in time, whereas my internal private network is enabled on this particular VM. What if I wanted to see all the network adapters on all of my VMs? This is a good time to pause and have a drink because this takes a little bit of time to run through this. So this will go out, look at all the VMs that I currently have on this host, and it will give me the details, including the MAC address and all the details of the network adapter on each of those machines. Okay, so I can go and see details of good troubleshooting to really quickly see if any of your virtual machines have issues or have network adapters that are currently down. Because you guys probably worked at help desks at some point in your career, right? How many of you have ever heard people say, the network is down? I love that one. I'm going like, what, in the whole world? Or what are you talking about? You know, and it's always a perceptive thing to say, the network is down. Well, these are some PowerShell tools that that give you a real quick ability to do some basic troubleshooting around your network. Okay, so I'm looking at the VM adapters on all of my virtual machines. I can then go and look at, say, my IP addresses. And this has given me some details about my specific IP address on each of my network adapters. Okay, so my CorpNet team, the prefix and suffix origin, my address state, the lifetime currently for that. Now, if you want to do this all in one tool, there is an alias for that. It's kind of like, is there an app for that? There is an alias for this, and it's called GIP. Okay, so if you run GIP, that will go and get you the same information. You can do GIP detailed as well. And we can go and get some more details about this as well. Okay, so GIP allows me to get some more information about the different gateways, all the details that you need from a networking perspective on your host or inside a VM. You can run this inside a VM if you wanted to, so that you've got the details on that. And these tools that I'm showing you right now are in Server 2012. I just wanted to give you some details, PowerShell commandlets that you might not actually be familiar with. The next one, and you can go and continue to use ping if you want to, but testnet connection is just so much cooler. It's what the cool kids are using now. So I'm going to do a testnet connection against our good friends over at Facebook and see if they respond. All right, so we're going to go do a testnet connection against Facebook. Okay, it basically gives us a computer name, which is facebook.com, and it tells me the remote address, the interface alias that I'm going through, source address, and whether my ping actually exceeded in the millisecond that I had there. The other thing I'm going to do is within a testnet connection is I can also do a trace route. So I don't have to actually load a different tool for that. I can go in and do a trace route for this. So I'm going to do a trace route on this as well to see how many hops, traces I'm actually going through. So you can see the ones that are dead, the ones that are when they're actually going. So here we can actually see our trace route going through this. It took 277 milliseconds. And then what we can also do is we have a number of different commands for this as well. Say if I wanted to go and look at a specific port on a host to see if a specific port is up. Because oftentimes with users, when they say the network is down, it may be just the web application part is down. So here I'm going to look at port 80 on Facebook.com. Okay, this could be port 80 on my particular application, or port 443 if I wanted to look at that. So I can quickly test that to see if port 80 is responding on that. And true, yes, it's port 80 is actually responding on Facebook.com, which is probably a good thing for them. The other thing I can do is if I am having trouble getting access to servers, say I'm having trouble getting access to a server that I'm connecting to, I can simply add the RDP command at the end of my name of my server, and I can just go and test if RDP connection is true. So what that's doing is it's going looking at the RDP port, which is port 3389, and that allows us to see and how long that's actually taking to get to that as well. Now let's go get some more detailed information about that particular port. And we're going to go in. Here we can get a little bit more information about that particular port. Okay, so we get a lot more details around the port itself, what IP addresses are on that. We get much more information for troubleshooting. Then we can go and look at, there's an alias for testnet connection. So if you don't want to actually type out testnet connection, you can type out TNC. Okay, so TNC is the alias for testnet connection in Windows Server 2012 R2. This also works on Windows 8.1. Okay, so on 8.1 clients, you can use testnet connection as well. It's in Windows 8.1. So I can go and do a TNC against that and get the same information that I had before. All right, so that gives me that details. I can also, the good thing about testnet connection over using ping is that it can be, it's scriptable. And, you know, we talked about automation being the big part of the Cloud OS. When we're running our data centers, automation is very, very key for us to be able to provide the availability we need to run at scale. So we can do, here I'm doing an if statement against bing.com, and I'm running it with the quiet mode. So obviously it's not going to return anything. I can pump that out to an XML file if I want to look at that data later on. So it allows me to do that. So those are some of the tools, the performance and diagnostics tools that are actually available. In a few minutes, I'm going to show you, actually, not in a few minutes, now I'm going to show you a couple of the things I've already talked about, particularly NIC teaming and virtual RSS. Now, NIC teaming is fairly straightforward. I have a NIC team that's already set up on my machine. And let me just, I had to reboot my machine, because you know what always happens when you're traveling, is Patch Tuesday always happens. And so I had to reboot my machine because I had a couple of patches that came out. And I just need to load up Zoom it real quick for you. All right. Because I know oftentimes at the back it's hard to see some of these things, so we want to try to make sure you can see that at the back. Okay, so this is the NIC teaming interface that I went into Server Manager. I'm managing a bunch of servers. There's a couple of ways that you can get to NIC teaming. You can get to it on the local server. Right-click on the local server and configure NIC teaming. The other way you can do it is from the dashboard. You can go and configure NIC teaming on that as well. I've got a bunch of servers that I'm actually managing here. You notice one of my nodes in my cluster died. It was very good on its timing, and then it died right before TechEd. Awesome work, right? So anyway, so I'm going to go and I simply go in and configure NIC teaming on this, and I go in and configure NIC teaming from there. Very simple way to actually do that. And then once I've actually created the team, we have a UI that we can use for managing NIC teaming, and this is, I'm running the data center preview on the box that I'm connecting to, and I already have a team that's actually connected, and you can see that I've got different devices. I've got three network adapters in this particular team. And I can go and look at the properties of this, and you can see that I have a bunch of servers there, and you see how there's this new mode called dynamic. Now, dynamic is the mode that we default to on Windows Server 2012 R2. The dynamic mode is what it's going to break that up into folets, and we're going to utilize the NICs in that team a lot better. So we can go and switch this to address hash from here if we want to. We can go and set it to address hash, or we can set it on the Hyper-V port. Hyper-V port basically gives us a better flow within the VMs. What we've done with dynamic is we've taken a combination of address hash and Hyper-V port to give us that balance across our VMs. And I'm going to show you what that looks like in a second. Unfortunately, I have to show you a video. Is that okay? I know what goes on in the video, so I can narrate for you. So we set that to dynamic, and that gives us the ability to go across all the network adapters in the team. So let's have a look at this real quick so we can see what it looks like. And let's turn the volume all the way down. All right. So what we've got set up here is I've got a network team on the left-hand side of our screen. And we've got performance monitor on the right-hand side. And what performance monitor is showing you is that I'm currently running this this network team in address hash mode, which was the default for Windows Server 2012. Now you can see that on the left-hand side, on the performance monitor, we're measuring bytes received per second. And you notice that when we're running in address hash mode, bytes received is only coming through one NIC. Now we have three VMs currently running on this, so we're not actually taking advantage of all the NICs for those VMs. So from a performance point of view, these VMs are not actually going to benefit from that. So we've got our team here, and address hash is the one that we default in Server 2012. And we've got a bunch of VMs that are also sending traffic. Okay, and I'm using NTTTCP, which is a tool for you to test network traffic that you can download. Now we've switched it over to Hyper-V port. Now Hyper-V port allows us to balance the load of those three VMs, and you can see that the send traffic is now going across three of the NICs, but we still have one NIC that's not being utilized at this point in time. Okay, so it's a little bit better, but it's not as good as it was previously. Now what we're going to do is switch to dynamic mode. Now we have all of the NIC cards being used, and we're spreading that across all of those NICs, so we get a better performance out of this. And this is just simulating traffic in and out of this VM using that NTCCP2 tool. So the next one to show you is virtual RSS. Okay, so VRSS is simply a tool that allows you to turn on the ability to use all your processors within the VM. So in this particular scenario, what I've got is I've got two hosts here. One you can see there with the 27 at the top, and the other one's got the 10. That's on the right-hand side. And then we've got a VM, and we're basically simulating traffic with the NTTTCP tool. God, they needed to come up with a better name for that, far out. And you see on the left-hand side, we see the CPUs on our host. And we're just going to go and generate traffic between these two. And what this essentially does is set up a sender and a receiver. Okay? So we send and receive traffic, and we're going to set it for a certain amount of time that we're going to send some network activity. And what you're going to actually see is without virtual RSS enabled, all traffic, network traffic that's being going through this VM is going on CPU 0. Okay, so it's not utilizing the four virtual CPUs that we have in that virtual machine. And also you can see over on the host that we're pegging CPU 0 on our host machine. So that's not a very good thing. You'll also notice that we have this is backed by two 10 gig Ethernet adapters. And you see we're only getting 5.4 gigabytes of throughput. I'd be pretty annoyed with that because I've paid money for 10 gig E. I want to get 10 gig E. All we have to do in the VM is to do setNet adapter RSS-name to enable that. It's a simple case of enabling that and then resetting up the NTCCP traffic, and you'll see the difference here. So we're going to go and enable that. Okay, so we're going to go enable that on the sender and enable that on the receiver. And what you're going to see is magic happens, right? What we see at this point in time is now we're spreading the load across all the CPUs in the virtual machine. Okay, so, and you'll also notice that when CPU 0 on the host starts to get pegged with network traffic, what we're actually seeing is that the network, we start to spread that across all the CPUs on the host as well. So this is really beneficial for those workloads that are very network intensive. Today, you can't really flood a CPU with 1 gig line rate. Okay, I don't have 10 gig Ethernet cards, otherwise I would have showed you a live demo there. But if you have network cards that have got 10 gig E, you're probably going to be, you're able to actually flood a CPU 0. So by enabling net adapter RSS, enable that, you now have the ability to use all CPUs in that virtual machine. So, is that pretty cool? Yes? No? Could be. Who cares? I don't know. So there you go. So I'm just going to switch over, back over to the slides. So those are the first of the demos that we had. I think I got to press A here. Beautiful. All right. Where did I put my clicker? The next bucket is to talk about software-defined networking. It goes by a couple of different names. It goes by network virtualization. So I'm going to talk about what's inbuilt in the operating system and what we also enable with System Center as well in regards to that. So first up is that software-defined networking is core to Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center 2012 R2. So the way that you manage software-defined networking in Windows Server 2012 and System Center is through Virtual Machine Manager. So Virtual Machine Manager is your tool for managing these networks. And there's a couple of other components. The Windows Azure Pack also gives you a front end to be able to set up your virtual networks. So that's actually available to you as well. So we use Hyper-V network virtualization. And you guys are familiar with virtualization of machines, right? How many of you are familiar with virtualization at the CPU level? Right. Hyper-V network virtualization is simply virtualization at the network layer, at the network plane. Okay, so that essentially allows you to convince the virtual machine that it's running on a physical network when it's really running on a virtual network. Hyper-V extensible switch is also something that's part of that. And so System Center Virtual Machine Manager is really about your automation piece. That allows you to manage your virtual networks, create the automation, create your logical networks. Okay, so it's an open standard as well. It's standards-based. It's built into the operating system. There's nothing you have to actually have to get this. And through our partners, it allows us to extend this through software. Now, what we're adding in R2 is the network switch management and the built-in software gateways. Those are the two things that are added in R2. So first of all, a kind of overview of what network virtualization is. And we could probably spend a whole session or more on what network virtualization actually is. And essentially what this is it's about you as a customer being able to bring your own IP addresses to the cloud without conflicts. Essentially what we have in network virtualization is what we call a customer address, which is your address that you have for your virtual machines, and a provider address. And I'll talk about that in the next slide. But here in this scenario, what you can actually see is a Contoso virtual machine and a Fabricam virtual machine that we've moved up into the cloud and allows us to actually keep that. And essentially what we do is we overlay the physical network with a virtual network, and we do encapsulation through the NV GRE protocol. Why this actually matters is it allows you as a customer to not have to be restricted to move your workloads up to the cloud. Gives you VM mobility across your data center, whether it's a hoster, whether it's in the cloud, whether it's in Windows Azure, it doesn't matter. And it allows you to import customer IP addresses and allows you to keep the customer to keep their network topology that they had originally. All right, so what we end up doing is we create that virtual network. And in this case, we've got a blue and a green network. These networks can be using the same IP addresses. Okay, so Contoso Virtual Machine could be a web server that's on 10.10.10.3. Fabricam can have that same IP address. All right, but because we virtualize this and we provide a provider address, that's what the provider actually sees. And here's what it all looks like. This is the brain dump slide for you. Okay, so lots of IP addresses. What we've added in R2 is this notion of what we call dynamically learned customer addresses. And this is enabled through PowerShell. And this basically allows you to bring clustering, bring highly available gateways into the virtual environment. Okay, so you can bring all this capability, your DHCP servers, your DNS, into the virtual environment. Okay, so what you're seeing over here on what Contoso sees is they see, you can notice that Contoso here has a 10.1.1.2 and a 10.1.1.3, right? Fabricam has the same IP address, but the provider provides them different addresses, all right? So that the provider gives them a provider address, okay? And the provider address space is a different space. One of the performance improvements that we added in R2 is the ability to do NIC teaming integration, and we also, a lot of our vendors are gonna start to come out with NV GRE task offload enabled NIC cards. So you've probably heard of network cards that allow you to offload processing to the network cards. A lot of vendors are doing this now, but they'll be coming out with NICs that enable for NVGRE offload as well. So Emulex and Mellanox are the two vendors that will be coming out with those later this year when we release Server 2012 on October 18th. So you start to see those cards actually coming up. And there's enhanced diagnostics with this as well. Of the virtual networks. All right, so what this really allows you to do is that dynamically learning this means that as the customer can bring up their network and as they start to get either a DHCP or a static IP address, we can dynamically learn those addresses in the cloud, okay? The Hyper-V extensible switch. So it's an open platform to really help have additional plugins to do monitoring, to do capturing, to do filtering, to do forwarding. It's free in the core services, but we've changed now essentially what we did this. If you look at this with Hyper-V network virtualization, sorry, I meant to go back to that. That's just some summary on that. But when you look at the Hyper-V switch extension, that allows us to, and this is the core switch extension that's in Server 2012. In Server 2012, that actually existed in the physical network adapter. Okay? So that's what we've done now with Server 2012 R2 is we introduced this notion of forwarding of Hyper-V network traffic to forward non-HNV traffic. We have richer extensions. You can also go and ping the customer address and the PA packet, so you can start to get data within those PA packets, and we enable that as well. So what we've done in Server 2012 is we've taken the HNV module, as it's called, and we've moved that up into the virtual networks, into the virtual network switch. This gives us a lot more flexibility. It also allows us to do some more forwarding. Okay, so as traffic comes in through ingress and goes out through egress, it allows additional forwarding extensions on this as well, and it allows us to provide better capability by having flexibility by having it in the virtual switch. All right. Now, the other area is looking at standard-based switch management. How many of you have Cisco switches, all kinds of different switches in your environment? What we've done is the standards-based switch environment is based on the common information model. So if you have switches that are running the Open Management API infrastructure, we can manage this through PowerShell or Virtual Machine Manager. So it gives us a common infrastructure, and if you are managing all this stuff, you want a common infrastructure across multiple network vendors. How many of you have multiple network vendors for your switches? You try not to, right? We try not to have multiple network vendors, but it happens. We try not to have multiple vendors for all kinds of different things. But through all kinds of different scenarios, we end up with that. So if you have different switches, it allows you to automate those management tasks across the different vendors that you actually have. Now, we have a logo program, which is on the Windows Server catalog that allows you, you can go and look at switches, find and buy switches that just work out of the box with this platform. Okay, so you can find those on our website, and more of those are actually coming as well. So we communicate using WSMAN through PowerShell commandlets, so that allows us to get into those. Now, talking a little bit about the software gateways. So with the gateways themselves, you can see here that we have two customers. We have Contoso Corp and Fabricam. These are the standard ones that we actually use. Now, the challenge is that the hoster wants to provide an isolated network for a tenant VM. And I'm going to show you a really interesting demo, but there's a story at the end of it. With integrated site-to-site VPN and NAT, okay? So, and they have virtualized networks that are split across different data centers. We have a multi-tenant VPN gateway now built into Server 2012 R2. That's a site-to-site gateway for site-to-site connectivity. It's multi-tenant aware for NAT and for internet addresses. Okay, so that allows us to provide that. And we have a forwarding gateway for in-data center physical machine access. So this allows us to, this is great. Hosters are really excited about this, being able to be able to do this and provide this capability to customers. I'm going to show you that stuff in a second after we look at a little bit about IPAM as well. So how many of you said using IPAM? Only a couple. How many of you said you're still using spreadsheets? Right. You got how many? So of those, keep your hands up. Those of you that are still using spreadsheets, are you on Windows Server 2012? Yes? No? Kind of? Sort of? You got to start looking at IPAM. This is a great way for you to actually look at. It's an inbox feature that's integrated management for IP addresses, domain names, and device entities. It tightly integrates with DNS and DHCP servers, so it grabs all that information. And provides custom IP address display reporting and all this kind of information so that you can see what's going on and see, for example, how many IP addresses am I using on this particular scope and what's its level of saturation on that scope. It's great for auditing purposes as well because you can track IP address use. All right, so you can monitor and manage specific types of scenarios. And I'll show you what we actually set up in that scenario. So I'm going to show you what IPAM looks like. And I didn't time that right because my machine just locked. So let me just get my, because you don't want to see me type my password because it's really, really long. So let me just get that sorted. Might type it right this time. Bang. Gotta love that. Come on. Oh, come on, give me a break, dude. This is not good. Hey? Yeah, no pressure at all, right? Yeah. Who unplugged the big red cable, huh? Yeah. And if I can't unlock this machine, then I'm kind of, in Australia we have a word called stuffed. That's the polite version of it. Because it doesn't want to log in for some reason. Right, so let me try and do some of these giveaways and I'll come back, well, the one giveaway that I've got. Let's find that. All right. Nokia Lumia 520. Anybody got a Nokia phone? A few people? You can't win. No, I'm only kidding. Probably. I bought one of these for my son, so it's a good phone, very entry-level phone. So let me... excellent. Let me just come back to this for a second. It's just going to restart my machine. So... Lucky it has an SSD, so it's pretty quick. While I'm actually doing that, nope, I am stuffed now. Macca, guess what mode it's in now? BitLocker recovery mode. Okay, it's all right. It's all right, I'm gonna switch over, because I do have a Surface Pro here. Have a backup machine, so any questions while I'm switching over to a different machine? Any questions at all? No? All right, so I'm just going to switch over. Didn't quite hear that. Can you say that a little bit louder for me? Further in. So the question's around how does it handle it further in. So is it about the inbox, the inbox gateway itself? Okay, so the inbox gateway is a site-to-site VPN and also NAT. So it does those two things at this point in time. It uses different protocols, so IKEV2 and SSP. Okay, so you have the different protocols to actually do that. It's far as further in, I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that one. All right. Let me try to fire up. Hey? No, I can get, I'll get another machine up. That's all right. I'll get my Surface Pro and we'll see what happens here. Because this machine, luckily I have everything on two machines. All right, let me see if I can switch over. There we go. No. Get rid of that. Okay, it's just connecting to actually, Mecca, if you can do me a favor, that would be good. I don't think you'll be able to get in. It's in BitLocker recovery mode, so there's nothing you can really do. I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. All right, so just wait for this to connect up. Okay, so direct access is connected. And we'll just do a remote desktop connection back to my server, which is that one. It was a lot quicker before. Okay, first question for the giveaway. In network teaming, this is a true or false question. In network teaming, in Windows Server 2012 R2, the default mode is Hyper-V port, true or false? So who thinks it's true? Who thinks it's false? All right, you're right. What's the mode? Dynamic mode. So I had my questions written down before. I can't remember what the questions were that I asked. Let me just go into my slides real quick. True or false? The HNV module has been moved into the virtual switch in R2. True or false? How many say true? You guys have been paying attention. What else can I ask to give this away? First person to answer this question will get the phone. How does that sound? Good one, lucky work. What year did Microsoft get into cloud computing? Who said 1994? There you go. That's the easiest way to do it when you don't have demos working. So I can't connect to the server. Let me just try this one more time, and then we're going to call it a day. While that's doing that, I'm going to... Yeah. All right. So what I wanted to actually show you... Okay, so I've got a PowerShell script here. What I wanted to actually show you is the way that you actually enable I want to show you the changes we did in IPAM. Right, thank you. It's hard to do this without a mouse, but there you go. All right, I've got an IPAM server here. And essentially what IPAM is allowing you to actually do is to manage all your IP addresses. So for those of you that are managing through spreadsheets, what IPAM essentially allows you to do, and I'll just give you the overview, is it allows you to go and provision all the your servers themselves. If you look at the quick start, essentially what this does, you connect to your IPAM server, you provision the IPAM server, and essentially you have two different modes. You have the manual mode where you're going to have to go and create a number of group policy objects. Okay, so we created a group policy object called IPAM underscore DHCP. We create one called IPAM underscore DC and one called IPAM underscore DC underscore NPS. Now, the other thing that's new in IPAM is that in Windows Server 2012 and IPAM, you were limited to using the Windows internal database. Now with Server 2012, we can use SQL as our database. Okay, so we can use SQL 2012 or above as our database for IPAM itself. Okay, so it gives you that option. What we do once we actually do that through the provisioning mode is we go and create a bunch of scheduled tasks where it goes and retrieves data about the usage levels for your IPAM servers. So we go and create some IPAM security groups, and what you can actually see here is that we have some scheduled tasks that actually run. And we'll just... All right, so you, what you see is there's some scheduled tasks. We have server discovery, server configuration, address utilization, all that kind of stuff gets run on a scheduled basis on our IPAM server. And then what we do is we go and create a bunch of security groups. Okay, so when you're provisioning your IPAM server, you need to give it a prefix. So when you these groups are created, they're created by whatever prefix you actually use, and then followed by underscore DC, underscore DHCP, and NPS. And we create those particular groups. What it actually gives us is it gives us some information. So here we've got, I've got a DHCP failover cluster actually set up. I've got two DHCP servers, and I've configured failover clustering between my DHCP servers. And then what we can see is the utilization currently going on for the address leases we have. And this is showing us that this particular scope is underutilized. You could actually, if you had other scopes, you could see the balance between your scopes. What scopes are underutilized, what scopes are overutilized. All right, so you can go and see that information. And what we've actually added with Server 2012, R2, is the ability to not only manage your physical DHCP leases, but also your virtual IP address space ranges. Okay, so in the cloud, this allows you to be able to manage those virtual address spaces as well. And we've actually had some additional capabilities to be able to get more granular about how we actually go and do delegation. Okay, so we can go and set a lot more delegation here for our users that are going to manage this. So we have much more fine-grained access control. Okay, so we can go and create a user role, and we have the ability to separate this out to delegate administration. So you might have some people that you only want to manage DNS. You might have some users that you only want to actually manage DHCP. So it gives you that capability to do that as well, which is really good. All right. So we're almost at the time. And I'm just going to switch out. And just summarize where we are right now. A cut. All right. So this is all the stuff that's in networking. Just to summarize the capabilities that we have in networking, there's a few incremental changes. The base that you want, if you're on older versions of our operating system, 2008, 2008 R2, 2003, you want to get to a base of Server 2012. That's your base you want to actually look at if you're looking at Cloud OS type stuff. Okay, so some related content. There's a bunch of sessions going on right now. So if you look at MDC 215, 315, 412, and 417 are a couple of good sessions around private cloud and also software-defined networking. So where you can actually find more about this, obviously the download for TechEd for Windows Server 2012 is now available on TechNet and MSDN, so you can get that there. Make sure you evaluate. Be kind on the demo gods for me. Evaluate the session. You can win these prizes. So with that, I'll say thanks. I'll be around for the rest of today, and I'll see you in the, if you're going to come to the storage session, I'll see you at that session at 3:10, I think it is. Thanks very much, guys.